Media days gave us plenty of clues about this team, but starting this week, every rep matters. Every position battle matters. Every breakout player begins writing their story. Let's talk about the biggest takeaways and the biggest storylines heading into Wisconsin's most important fall camp in years. I'm Rajiv. He's Justin. Here we go.
Welcome to the Bucky Report, your destination for all things Wisconsin Badgers. Authentic takes.
Oh my God.
Game analysis.
Touchdown Badgers, ring one up.
And discussion from the fan perspective.
Woohoo!
Thanks for joining us and on Wisconsin.
Welcome to the Bucky Report, part of the Believe Podcast Network. We are your hosts, Rajiv and Justin, back together on a Sunday evening to talk about all things Wisconsin Badgers. On today's show, we're putting a bow on Big Ten Media Days in Chicago and looking ahead to the start of Wisconsin fall camp. We'll talk about the biggest takeaways from the week, including something we haven't heard enough about over the last few years, truly optimism. There was a noticeably different energy surrounding this football team, and we'll discuss why words like competition, confrontation, and especially leadership kept coming up throughout media days and whether those themes can actually translate into wins this fall. Then we'll turn our attention to the practice field. Which position battles are we watching most closely? Which players are poised to make a move? And what are the biggest storylines that could shape Wisconsin's season before they ever play a game? The offseason officially gives way to football, so let's jump right in. Before we do, if you enjoy the show, be sure to like, subscribe, and follow the Bucky Report on YouTube and wherever you get your podcast. Thank you so much for the support of the show. We're on a big subscriber push on YouTube heading into football season. If you are a podcast listener, whether that's Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you get them, thank you so much. Hit that follow button if you're listening to this on an audio platform so you know when we make new content. Very much appreciate all the support of the show. It's been a long week, Justin. I just got back to my home in Las Vegas about an hour ago. After going to Big Ten Media Days in Chicago, getting stuck in St. Louis, driving to the hotel, it was an absolute disaster. Then I had a family vacation for the last week, which was great. But yeah, man, it was wild. But happy to be home. How are you doing? How was your week? How was your weekend?
Not too bad. It was a fairly low-key weekend for me. I was looking forward to it, to be honest. Had a nice breakfast with my parents. This morning I took them out to breakfast. Was interesting. Apparently the syrup container did not have a tight lid on it. Mom decided to pour that all over the table. So it made it cheaper for me, which was nice. But yeah, that was an interesting breakfast. She was a good sport about it though. So not too bad of a day. But she would probably be mortified if she knew that I was talking about her getting syrup spilled all over this morning. But
yeah, I mean, there is that. All right, man, let's get into it. Big Ten Media Days was last week. I put a bunch of content out on my Twitter about like kind of quotes from Luke Fickell. I did a show with Nick Osen that day. Wanted to just kind of quickly touch on what some of those big key items are, get your take on them, kind of talk through them. And now I've had a bit of a time to digest some of the things that came out of Media Days. And then we're going to get into fall camp. We got fall camp starting in a couple days. It's going to be fantastic. Everyone's pumped about it. Just a quick content update. Next week, we'll have Nick Osen on for Fall Camp Insider show we do every year. Kind of go through everything we've seen, get all the reports together that everyone went there. Ryan's going to be there. Get all that information together and put out a show about everything we learned at fall camp. So it's going to be fantastic. Media days, Justin. I've got a bunch of stuff that I obviously already kind of talked about and went over. I'm going to go over it again. But what were any of your big takeaways that you had from media days that you kind of picked up on?
I picked up on the energy that Luke Fickell seems to have coming into this season, which seems significantly higher than any other season we've seen from him. He seems more confident than I think I've ever seen in his time at Wisconsin, which I think is something important to take notice of. We'll see if it pays off as the season goes on, but I do think that he feels far more confident going into the season than he has in the past. And given the fact that this is a season that he pretty much knows that he's out the door if they don't play well, I take that to mean that he feels good about his chances of having a good season.
Yeah, man. I mean, and as I said, it's Big Ten Media Days. They are designed to be a hype train. I get that. And I'm part of that, like by saying about how great everything was. But honestly, like these things kind of mattered a little bit. And it wasn't just me. It was Nick. It was Ryan. There were other people that were there. And it was all like, it kind of feels like there's a different vibe. And the big buzzword for me was leadership. That was brought up multiple times by Luke Fickell. I mean, and every single time. And we had multiple discussions with Luke Fickell throughout the day. And I'm telling you, everything he said was related to leadership. Every time he talked, he spoke about it. But interestingly enough, man, it wasn't just about like the leaders, like, you know, like the people that are going to be the captains, like likely like a Chris Brooks who was there, Sebastian Cheeks was there, but also like the young leadership, guys like Kevin Haywood, Colin Cubberly, Emerson Mandel, Mason Posa, like all those names were brought up as, you know, he said something about how like the youth movement on this team kind of made him realize what changes were needed, basically play the youth, which I believe you and I have been saying that for quite some time now.
And, you're not wrong there,
but I mean, like, so he understood what that was. He made those changes and you can see this whole different vibe shift around the team. The other thing that I love that he said, and his one other word was confrontation, which is an interesting phrase. It's not competition. He used that word too, but he used confrontation. And what he meant by that, in my opinion, was he kept talking about brotherhood, family, and how brothers are going to call each other out. And they're not just going to be like, oh, I'm here for you. It's more like, hey, get your shit together and do better. And what's happening, it seems like, is everyone is holding everyone accountable, right? Mm-hmm. So that's that confrontation that's like, no, we're not going to settle for mediocrity. We're not going to deal with someone not pulling their weight. You're going to get confronted by other members of this team if you're not pulling your weight. And I think that is fantastic. I'm kind of surprised that it hasn't already happened over the last couple of years, but I'm all for it now. I'm all for that increased level of accountability, competition. And that's one thing, Justin, that I loved about it. I loved about that, what he said. And it didn't really click at first. I was like, how does he use in that phrase? Like, what is that? What is that meaning? And I thought about it more. And I just feel like it's just about people calling each other out and just saying, we're not going to deal with this. Getting beat 37-0 by one of your arch rivals is a joke. And anyone who's going to play like that needs to get the hell out of this team. And I'm telling you, that team is full of people that are just dying to play.
Yeah, I think it's hard because we've had such a young team over the last several seasons. And it's, to me, I can completely understand a young player not feeling confident to call out an older player and say, yeah, you're not getting the job done. I think that's something that takes time and confidence and experience where you're kind of like, all right, this is my team now. I'm not going to put up with you acting this way. And I think that that's something you get with growth and with feeling comfortable with the guys that are around you. I do think that we're seeing now with the first class being true juniors that you have those guys at that age where they're kind of like, yeah, this is my third year. I'm tired of the BS. This is my team now. We're going to do it my way. And I think that that's kind of the vibe. And I think we've seen it with some of the younger guys too. Like even right away last year, Posa and Catalano, the intensity that they brought seemed to be very contagious. But I also feel like those are two guys that when they tell you to suck it up and play, it's really hard to say no to that when you have two guys that are killing themselves out on the field. And I don't know that they necessarily had a bunch of guys like that the last few years that were the ones that were kind of making the playmakers calling other people out.
Yeah. Zach Bart says, love the intensity and conviction in his voice and responses. Good friend Kevin Brown, from what I read, he seems to embrace the situation and accepting the challenge. By the way, KB Kevin Brown is going to be coming on the show in a few weeks to join us for our prediction show, which will be fantastic. Happy to have him join. To come on. He's a great guy. I totally agree with everything you said. There is a difference. There is a slight difference and it could be wishful thinking. I totally recognize that. We've been on this hype train before, but I think it's something different. The other thing was the NIL number, which we all know has been increased. And there was an article in The Athletic that said it was 25 million and he refuted that. And he was like, no, that I don't know where they got that number, flat out just immediately said that's nonsense. I don't know where they got that. And I'm not going to give you the real number, but that's not a real number. So that's nice to hear. And I think it's higher. It sounds like it's higher, but man, he said verbatim, I don't have the quote in front of me, but we're in the mix now. And before, I'm paraphrasing now, but we couldn't even get guys in the room. There were people that that would not even come on campus that they actually wanted to. And now they're competing on that same level with a lot of Big Ten teams. We knew that was here. We heard about it several times. But to hear that coming directly from Luke Fickell means that there really was investment. And, man, that made me very happy to hear.
Yeah, I think that that was something. I don't think any of us truly realized how weak the support was the first few years. It sounds like it was just really rough. And we had spoken about this, you, me, and Ryan several times, that we didn't like the way that it was NIL was handled here. It felt like we were kind of doing it with an arm tied behind our backs, and we were way too worried about what regulation was going to potentially follow with it. And everyone else was just kind of like, all right, we're going to go like this is the wild, wild west. And if they tell us to change, then we will stop. But until they tell us not to do something, we're going to keep pushing the limits on it. And Wisconsin didn't handle things that way. And because of that, they fell behind. And that was a giant kick in the pants to this team. So it's so hard for me to look at how these first few seasons for Luke Fickell actually played out and how much of that is his fault versus just the program in general, how everything was handled. It feels like we are a far more cohesive program coming into this season than we've been the last several years. And that's to say that I'm not saying that Fickell doesn't deserve some level of blame to go with it. There is definitely things that he's mishandled. It's just that it was beyond just him. Like it was program wide that there were problems with how things were handled. And that was a part of the results that we've experienced.
Absolutely. The other thing that I wanted to bring up with you, and I'm sure you picked up on this as well, is he talked a lot about, we have talked a lot on the show about how the roster is way better than it has been in the past, right? And it was confirmed by Luke Fickell when he said that in the past, they were going to the transfer portal for depth, basically. And now they were looking for starters. Like they're like, this is a totally different transfer portal because we weren't just going to get guys to fill rooms. We were going to get actual starters, which also then breeds that competition. Iron sharpens iron. The cornerback group he brought up specifically as something that obviously that he doesn't even know. He's like, I don't even know who's going to be starting because guys like Skanes and other guys have just been in, and Scott have been massively improving in the whole secondary. And so like there's a lot of competition there, but it's because they went out and got starters. They went out and got guys like Robinson and Burks and Bates and all these guys that you could say, hey, any of these guys can start. DiMaggio, Rigby, right? The list goes on and on. Wilkins. And that's, I think, really, that's another reason that it's kind of confirmation for me that the vibes are different and it's not just another year of us saying, well, things are going to be better. It's not. Like, the roster clearly is in a different place.
Yeah, well, I think that it speaks to the financial aspect of it, too, because, like, I think that what they're saying also with that is that they were looking to fill out depth is they didn't have the money to be attacking
for
going
sure.
after starters. And this is the first offseason he felt like they had the budget in order to be able to go out there and actively seek guys who they felt like were going to, you know, be able to be a major part of what they wanted to do. And I think we both agree with that. Like some of the guys they got, we feel really good about. Colton Joseph was the number one quarterback that they were targeting this out of this portal. And we picked up on that. Like, I'm sure they didn't love the fact that we're kind of talking about it openly before the transfer portal even opened. I'm sure that the staff was kind of like, yeah, you guys don't need to be discussing our number one guy, but I don't think any of us had anything kind of confirmed at that point. So, but you kind of look at it and it's like, it's kind of funny that we picked up on that. Like it's always amusing when you go into the Twitter follows and you're like, oh, they're looking at this guy. He's on somebody else's roster. But yeah, I find it so interesting how different it was. And we knew that from the portal, the second the portal opened, just across the board, the guys that we were bringing in were a different caliber than what we've done in previous offseasons. Not that there wasn't a guy here and there that we brought in the other cycles that were like, we really like this guy. There were significant guys in this one where we're like, okay, that guy's being brought in because he's actively looking to fill a hole where we don't feel like we're up to snuff in that spot. The cornerbacks are the biggest example of that. And they went overboard, to be quite honest. They basically brought in a two deep worth of cornerbacks And I think we feel really good about him. And I think that has pushed some guys. You know, we're seeing Scott that's coming up this season, Jahmyr Scott, who's a guy that probably got pushed to the point where he was like, I need to up my game. And he's a guy that has a really good chance of potentially being the second corner coming out of the spring. So we'll see how this plays out. But I absolutely think that they've found some really good pieces. And I think they've actively pushed some guys. You know, they brought in Lucas Simmons and Wilkins. And I think it's kind of given Simmons a kick in the pants, you know, that it wasn't going to be handed over to him. He had the pedigree. Wilkins was just kind of a guy. And Wilkins had a really good spring. And at the end of the spring, Simmons had to push himself to get in that conversation. We'll see which one of them ends up winning it by the end of fall. But that's only going to help. Like, I think we feel better about the tackle depth going into the fall than we did before spring, for sure.
I mean, yeah, I would agree with you there. I definitely feel better about Simmons now. I just have hearing some nice things about Simmons. And the fact that there is a competition, obviously, Haywood, we know, is the right starter. Yeah. But the fact that you could have either one of those guys means that you also have instant swing tackle depth. Well, either of those guys could probably cover on the right as well. So that's nice to have someone in the room. And speaking of guys we might not have right away, like injuries, Emerson Mandel was the guy that he brought up as a bit of a question mark going into camp, right? He's a little limited. Shamar Rigby's limited. Sad news about Atuka, probably never going to play, which we kind of already knew, but that's a bummer. But who do you think goes, like, if Mandel doesn't start game one, I mean, how are we feeling about the right guard position?
Yeah, I think it's going to be Cherry, but I was actually going to ask you, do you think that he's the guy going into the game one? Unless he's 100%, I think you have to go with Cherry, because I'm actively concerned about him being limited going against Notre Dame. I don't feel great about that. Unless he's as close to 100% as you can get, but it sounds like he's going to be a work in progress through camp. And if he's not 100% full go game one, I'm a little concerned.
My read of it is that if he is ready to go, even really, really close, he's going to play. It's not, he doesn't need to be part of camp. Like, he's one of the leaders of the team. He's very well thought of. I think it sounds like he's going to be ready. I mean, unless barring some, of course, no one knows about the medical stuff. No one knows, but it's everything that I've heard sounds like he's still going to be the starter. But we're just like the next week when we talk about the first week of camp, we're not going to see that guy, or we're going to see him having very limited snaps. So you probably are going to see Cherry, but I think Mandel plays, which is important, because he's back to his better position, right?
Yeah, it's his better position. I think I actually trust in the coaching with Mateos, you know, far more than I. It's not that I didn't think Blazek was competent. It's just I think Mateos is legitimately one of the probably 5 to 10 best offensive line coaches in all of college football. And I think that that makes a difference when you have somebody who's that capable in terms of kind of helping a team catalyze and solidify. And I think that this is going to be a better line than we've anticipated because of his coaching.
The other thing related to injuries, the last thing I wanted to bring up about media days was that they, during his longer press conference, someone had asked about, you know, the injuries, obviously, to his quarterbacks the last few years. They've made some big changes. Now, we didn't go into all those details, but clearly they're doing things very differently. Whatever that means specifically, we don't really know, but there's adjustments being made. There was a lot of research being done as to what was causing his injuries, what happened. Was it all just bad luck? If they didn't really come to that conclusion, because they made a lot of changes in something, some training, recovery, all the different sports science stuff, I'm sure they did something. So I like that. I like they recognize that. Again, it could have very well just been dumb luck. I mean, we've had a lot of injuries, but the quarterback ones, I mean, you know, who knows? I also will say, we talked a lot about Billy Edwards last year, and whether or not he was actually healthy when he came in. Luke Fickell definitely made a comment, kind of like short and quick, but said something to the effect of, hey, this isn't the NFL. We don't get to do medicals on these teams, right? We don't get to actually, you know, come in here and analyze everything about this player like they do in the pro sport. So that was almost, to me, it was like a bit of a shot at the fact that Billy Edwards wasn't actually healthy when we got him.
Locked On Badgers. They're training like Rocky, chopping wood, moving rocks. So are they going to run to the top of the mountain and start screaming out PJ Fleck then? And then I have to also ask, who is Paulie? Which one of the coaches do we get to call Paulie this season? I think actually I want to give one of the coaches that nickname now. We got to figure out which guy that's going to be.
Jeez, I mean, which one is he really like? Like, God, I don't know.
I don't know.
I'm going Jack Cooper for that. I'm going Jack Cooper for that.
Cooper. Oh, Brady Collins.
Brady Collins, Ryan says. All right. Well, there you go. Maybe. I don't know. Anything else you wanted to talk about from Media Days, Justin? Anything else that you, storylines that you kind of picked up on?
You know, it was one of those things with a lot of the stuff that was being said. Like, the quarterback position was something that I just don't think we can quantify what that means. And I don't think any of us truly can understand how different having your starting quarterback play is going to be, because our baseline for what we expect from the quarterback position is effectively being based off of a bunch of guys who had no business starting.
Yeah.
I mean, it truly is. None of those guys in a given season would be the guys that we would have expected to be the guy to go out there and take the bulk of the snaps. And so looking at the level of play we got, it's really hard to look at it and say it's not going to be significantly better than this, because we're going to have somebody who's drilled the entire camp with the ones and is going to come in with an offense that is 100% based off of what their skill set is.
Yeah.
And I think that just changes everything.
It's going to be really nice if we actually have a quarterback that gets through the year and gets to play, which would be absolutely fantastic. Let's move into fall camp starting this week. Obviously, we're going to have Nick Ozan on next week. Maybe I might have Ryan on potentially. I think he's going out to camp this week. Maybe next week. I'm not sure. Ryan, he'll tell us in the comments when he's going to camp. But yeah, I mean, we're going to talk a lot about that. But let's talk about some things we're looking forward to, storylines going into camp. I think for me, obviously, Colton Joseph, how is he going to look? What's he going to do? But for me also, it's number two. That matters to me. Like, who's getting number two snaps, right? Has Ryan Hopkins completely climbed that depth chart, and is he taking number two? Or is that's still going to be, is it still going to be Deuce? And how does Ryan Hopkins look, and how many reps does he actually get? That's a storyline for me. I know that Colton Joseph's the starter. We know that. I'm not trying to create any controversy here, but Hopkins clearly is a guy that a lot of people are speaking very highly of. Like I said, I saw him in person against one of the best high schools in the country, and he looked like he owned the field. And there were 73 D1 guys on that field that day. So he is something, but I'm very curious to see how he comes out there. But obviously, the quarterback in general, there's so much to talk about there.
Yeah, I think it's really interesting to see how much ground he's made up just in this, the difference between spring and fall, because there is a possibility that they've really liked the way that he's progressed. I mean, people need to remember, this is when practices start. They're running all these plays and stuff like that up until now. Like, they have their fall camp stuff, or their like workouts and stuff like that they're putting in, but they're also running plays and stuff like that. It's just not, the coaches can't be responsible for running it like a practice. All these guys are doing throwing, all the receivers and quarterbacks are getting together and running the plays, and some of that growth, and they're still having meetings completely from the spring up until now. They're meeting with those coaches, they're discussing what the playbook is, what do you see here, doing all that stuff to get prepped for fall camp. And we will find out how much of a growth that he's experienced and what that means. My gut instinct is that it will probably be both of them with the twos. I would guess that Deuce may have more of those reps initially, and we'll see how it takes off after, you know, the first few days. But I would anticipate that he's going to have a slight advantage, and it will just be one of those things where we'll see how the play goes.
One of the things I'm looking forward to along with the quarterback situation is, and I'm going to ask Nick and Ryan this, athletically, I want to see and hear what Colton looks like athletically. Just kind of against, like, obviously some people saw that in spring too, but now the fall camp is here. against the ones. What does he actually look like? We got an email from a guy named Mike, by the way, does a great podcast called the Crushing Iron Podcast. It's a triathlon podcast. So if you're into that, go check out Crushing Iron. He says, I think people are underestimating Sun Belt Conference athletically, and Colton Joseph will not be overwhelmed by the Big Ten. A lot of sneaky teams with good athletes. I feel like you made comments about how he faced pretty good athletes in his conference. I'm very interested to see what he actually looks like athletically. I think he's going to, we're going to know fairly early on, can he match up, I mean, to the athletically in this conference?
Well, I think a lot can be said about this as you watch most of the guys that were the studs on his team from last year ended up going up to Power Four. The differences I will say is the trenches are just different. Like there might be one guy on a team that's a defensive lineman, that's a really good defensive lineman, and kind of just a bunch of other just a guys. That's not going to be the case in the Big Ten. There will be teams that are absolutely stacked in the trenches that will close on you if you don't move. Now, we've heard this in camp, though. One of the things that we did hear was how poised all of the quarterbacks look, but especially Joseph and Hopkins in terms of when they got pressure in their face at being able to kind of adjust and still be competent and make things happen. And I think that that is going to be one of those things. Athletically speaking, Joseph is one of those guys that at the quarterback position, he's like in the 95th percentile, probably athletically. Like it doesn't matter what conference you throw him in, he's going to be a freak. Because he's probably a guy who runs a legit 4.6, if not even faster than that, and also is a very natural runner. Like he's a guy that looks comfortable moving in space and understanding angles. And I don't think a lot of other quarterbacks have that. They're just not used to running that much. And I think that that is where I look at it. And it's like, okay, he's a guy who I think is going to adjust. Like it's not going to catch him off guard when we get into the season. He's going to see everything he needs to get through simply by having camp. There are plenty of athletes on the Badger defense. I can tell you that right now, especially on the edges.
And can he remain poised? Like you mentioned, can he remain poised when faced with pressure in the pocket? Can he keep his eyes downfield, which is a huge thing that quarterbacks have to do. Don't just tuck in and run. Mm-hmm. Keep your eyes downfield. Create passing lanes with your legs. That is an attribute that way too few quarterbacks actually have and utilize that. And I'm hoping that Colton Joseph will do that. Like, use those, that powerful weapon you have, and then keep your eyes downfield and find the open guy before you cross the line. Like you can, there will be a lot of chunk plays that happen if he uses his tools athletically properly. In a way that should happen. Just a quick note, if you ever want to email the show, thebuckyreport@gmail.com, send us a note, give us your takes. If you have questions, things you want to talk about on the show, if you're interested in coming on the show for a segment, anything like that, connect with us. We're also at the Bucky Report on X, of course, Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, everywhere you can find us. But just a quick thing, just a reminder, if you ever want to reach out to the show, you can also reach out to us on Twitter. Both of our DMs are open. You can send us a message on Twitter. I'm at Rajiv Badgers and at Bucky Report JJ. But also send us an email. Anything you want to let us know about, please do that. Justin, what are some of your storylines? What's one of your big storylines that you're looking forward to camp?
I mean, wide receiver is going to be probably the biggest one for me outside of quarterback. And it's going to be, is there a couple of guys that can take a step that we legitimately look at it and say, okay, now we've got something to work with here. We got a couple of guys that we feel really good about going into the season that are consistently putting together strong days and look like they are legitimate above average Big Ten wide receivers.
Yeah, man. Wouldn't that be great? So of the people in that room, who are you most expecting that person to be, that the guy you mentioned taking a step and can compete on different levels? Who is that guy going to be?
I think the first one for me is DiMaggio, is the one that I think that everyone's most confident in. Rigby is not a guy that I anticipate because he's a little dinged up, it sounds like, yet. So for him, I just hope that he can get it together because we don't really know what we have in him yet. I think that he's a guy that we would have in this who would be pushing, who unfortunately has had injuries in spring and heading into the fall here, where you're like, man, if you could have just been healthy, you might be the other starter. But I think that's the case. I think you have some young guys that you're looking at potentially, hopefully providing depth. Thibodeau is a guy who I'd love to see start pushing Henry a little bit in the slot because I think he's the best fit for that spot. But I think there's going to be other guys that are going to be put in that opportunity too with Henry. But if we're talking just wide receiver on the outside, I think Hilton's a guy that's got to be considered. I think, man, I'm trying to think of who else would probably be potentially in there. I think that that's probably those are probably the two biggest, DiMaggio and Hilton. If Rigby was healthy, I would say he's probably in there. I think we probably would say that Brooks is – he's in that spot until we hear different. And yeah. But I don't know how strongly I feel about him having a really successful receiving season.
He seems motivated. He seems really motivated. And he's worked his butt off, man. He really has.
I don't think that he's necessarily bad. I just question athletically how he stacks up compared to some of the other guys.
Yeah,
and fair. I think that he – let me put it this way. He is not on the level of some of the previous Wisconsin wide receivers that were just a wash when they went out on the field. I think that he is capable of doing some good things at wide receiver. I just don't know that I would look him as a playmaker. I think he's a guy that you kind of – is going to kind of do the whole hum kind of work out there as a wide receiver.
I think he could surprise some people this year.
Okay. But if that's he does, fair. That'd be great. I would love to see it. He deserves it.
He absolutely does. He absolutely does. He's one of the leaders on the team. He was at Media Days, which was great. For me, it's Hilton there. Like, I'm dying to know. I've heard some things that a step has been taken, and I feel like he is going to potentially shine in this group. Very much looking forward to that. And another one for me, which I'm going to steal from you because I know that you love this room, is the tight end room. I mean, how many names can we talk? If you listen to like 10 different podcasts, you'd probably hear 4 or 5 different names of guys that are going to lead that room, whether it's mm-hmm. whether it's the, you know, guys like Harris, or whether it's Schwendeman, or whether it's Bork, and whether it's Stack. Like, there's a lot of guys in that room. And you love Bork. You're a huge Bork fan. You think he's going to climb that depth chart. And I think he could. What does that depth chart actually look like? Who is actually getting these touches? Because that's going to kind of tell us a lot. It's not only just about who those guys are, how much of those plays are being schemed and built around that tight end, because everyone seems to be really happy with that room, and I think rightfully so. Is that going to be one of the most the key room on the offense that really propels this thing forward? Are those guys going to be Colton Joseph's best friends? Here we talk about the wide receivers, but is it really the tight ends that are going to be getting most of the touchdowns and most of those over the middle receptions? And Grimes is going to let those guys cook. And who are those guys going to be? We know that room is stacked. We don't know who's really going to come out on top of that and how that room's actually going to materialize into the team. I'm fascinated by what that room mm-hmm. has.
Yeah, I agree. I think tight end is one of those positions that we look at. And I actually do think it's going to be a fairly big focal point of this offense. They do some interesting things there. There's some delays that they like to run in the passing game with the tight end where they'll sit in a block and then after a beat take off. And that's really hard for guys in coverage to be able to stay on top of that because they think a guy's staying in the block. So they start kind of taking a step or two in a different direction, and suddenly he just leaks out and is there to grab, you know, 7-8 yards. And that's, they do some interesting things like that. They have tight end screens and stuff like that that they would like to do more of. So I do anticipate them doing some interesting things with the tight end. They'll be part of this offense for sure. The question is going to be to what degree. And I think a lot of that will be dictated by just how strong the wide receiver room actually looks in the fall here.
Yeah, yeah. What's another one from you?
I think defensive line is one of those positions that I want to see how that two deep actually shakes out. I think there's a lot of options there. I think the Perkins, Poyser, and Hammond Russell are the three that I feel most strongly about. But there's like 4 or 5 other guys that have an opportunity to really push. And I don't know that any of those positions, other than maybe Hammond Russell, is a guy that you look at and say he's a lock to be a starter. I think they all have a chance if they have a really strong fall to push into that. And we'll see how that goes, but I think there's a lot of opportunity there. Jake Anderson, one of the guys that was in the spring, was kind of dinged up a little bit and struggled a little bit with the level of play. He did a great job getting ready to go for the fall here. He's 15 pounds heavier than what he was going into the spring. So that extra weight for him, I think, is going to be a big deal. He's a guy who I think had to get stronger. Like that's just, there's the difference between FCS and here is you can't take plays off where you just get by on your strength and athleticism. You have to come up a couple notches to be able to handle the Big Ten compared to that. these guys, they're not going to let you have a playoff where you don't go 100% full go.
Yeah. Craig Sparks, kicker is still going to be the area that will determine two or three wins this season. We don't talk enough about this. We've talked about it a decent amount, but we leave it out of a lot of discussions. That's definitely something I'm going to be asking about. Like, what are we actually, how is Lam actually looking? Are these kicks being made? Do we feel comfortable? New special teams coach Bob Ligashevsky has a long history of multiple pro teams. I got a chance to meet him. Nice guy, and I feel like he's going to bring some good things to the special teams unit. But that's a big question we need to talk more about, and we're obviously looking at as things progress. Kind of along the lines of what you said, last year at camp, we heard a lot about the offensive line, obviously, right? Davis Hinson, left tackle, wasn't working, big mess. So I'm really curious to see the PJ Wilkins, Sebastian Cheeks battle. I'm really interested to see the Nick Clayton, Kevin Haywood battle. Like, who's winning those battles? And does it mean that if one group is really winning, are we worried now about the offensive side? If the defensive guys are getting home, are we feeling confident that because they can do it against Wilkins and Haywood, that they can do it against other teams? It's always an interesting, like, how do you look at that? Like, and generate a take from that, because you could look at it different ways, right? You could say, oh, that's a really good sign if they're getting to the quarterback. Oh, but it's a bad sign for the offensive line. Can they really protect Joseph? But those battles specifically, Haywood, Clayton, / Cheeks, however they're lined up, and then on the other side with Wilkins. I'm very interested to see what that battle actually looks like.
Based off the things that are kind of leaking out, it sounds like the defensive guys are saying that the offensive line is night and day compared to last year. Like, the level of fight they're seeing from them and the level of productivity, they're far more difficult to deal with than they were last season, which I think is something that everybody wants to hear. The question for us is going to be, to what degree? Because I think we all want to see at least average, but if they can be anywhere from solid to good, they could be, I mean, that's going to decide the Badgers season. If this offensive line is legitimately good, Wisconsin has a very good chance at 8 wins, because they will be able to run the football consistently, which means there's not going to be a lot of pressure put on Colton Joseph to have to shoulder much in order for them to be competent. You can run a virtually play action offense and just don't take what's there on a lot of the throws if the offensive line is good. And that probably leads over to the passing game, where you should have a fairly decent amount of time to sit back there and make good decisions.
I heard a lot of people at Media Day talking about, just other people I was interacting with from other schools, talking about 8 wins for the Badgers. Is that the number? And I'm like, I just don't see the 8. I know a lot of people do, but the 8 scares me, because you could have 2 gone so quickly in Notre Dame and Penn State, and then all of a sudden you're like, okay, well, we got a long way to get to 8 wins. It scares me, man.
They could just win one of those,
though, I'm feeling really confident after Media Days, for sure. The vibe's there. Things are different. But 8 wins is still a lot of wins for a team that hasn't had 8 in many years.
Hey, and I'm not saying that this is going, like, it's what I would expect. I'm saying if the offensive line is good, then that's should be the expectation, because the defense we feel is going to be good. And if the offensive line is actually good, we've watched a lot of old Badger teams that were able to get to 8 wins simply because they could run the football. And that was with no semblance of a passing game. I think that you're going to get more than a semblance of a passing game out of Colton Joseph. I think that the passing game will be solid. The biggest question with him is, can it be dynamic? Because if he can be dynamic, it changes everything. We'll find out about that when the season starts, because it's going to be a combination of him and his receivers. Are the receivers capable of being guys that can consistently get open? And is he capable of creating some situations or scenarios where a defense is kind of put in flux, where big plays come out of it?
Yeah. Yeah, that's fair. Speaking of which, the schedule I put up on the screen here, the Know Your Foe series continues. We did UCLA this past week, which was interesting. That's a program that's been in flux and a lot of changes happening, and a big change at the helm, of course, with Chesney taking over. But that's kind of one of the unknown teams. We're going to be doing either Michigan State or Iowa this week. There'll be another one coming up this week, and we'll give you a couple more as we continue the rest of the summer. We're not going to do Western Illinois or Eastern Michigan. We're not going to do – Maryland or Rutgers, but we will do the other ones. Maybe we'll do Minnesota. We'll do Iowa. We'll do Michigan State for sure. And throw in one more on top of that. So that, that continues as well. Justin, any last storylines, things you want to talk about, that looking, things you're looking forward to, things you're going to be looking at, reading for, what else is piquing your interest going into camp?
Yeah. I mean, honestly, we just want to hear anything at this point. Like, I'm to the point where I'm just tired of the off season. I want to hear things are actually happening. And we know things have been happening with the team for months now. It's just, it's not stuff that's readily put out on, you know, nobody from the press is allowed to watch. And none of it is stuff that really gets leaked out there by the team. So it's been just miserable sitting here waiting for something to talk about other than recruiting. And not that I dislike talking about recruiting, but I want football. Like, the reason we do recruiting is to watch it on the field. So it's really frustrating when you don't get to see any of that. And we've been left with a bad taste in our mouth for far too long now. And it's just like, we want to see something positive happen. We want to hear some positive information. I want to hear, you know, quarterback looks like it took a step from the spring and that they look sharp. And that would be amazing for me to hear that it feels like it's coming together on the offensive side. Like, I think that these are some of the important things that we want to hear about this team so that we feel like our trust is not misplaced.
And ain't that the truth, though? Like, if a fan base deserves to have some good things go right and for something to celebrate, it's us. It really
is. We've used up all the negative things that could happen to this program in the last how long?
For sure. It really is. Good friend of show, Honch. Honcho asks, MSU, is the meetup correct? Good question, Honch. I believe so. It's MSU or USC potentially. I was just talking to Ryan about it at Big Ten Media Day. So we'll connect and we'll figure out which game's actually going to be that way. But don't forget, if you're going to go to Lambeau Field, Justin and I will be there. So let us know if you're going to be up at Lambeau. Send us a message. Send us an email. We'd love to meet up with as many people as are going to be up there as we can. And yes, likely MSU, which is early October, or USC, which is near the end of October. I think MSU might be the better one because we've had a losing streak.
We're due for a win.
We're due for
it. I want to go to that one. I feel better about it. For all the people that are worried about Fitzgerald, I'll just say this. Like, it's a different ball game when you're getting Fitzgerald without Hankowitz, because Hankowitz was a problem for Wisconsin in his time as defensive coordinator for them. He seemed to always be the issue that we had, as we, for whatever reason, could not deal with his defense. And I think that until we know that Fitzgerald has found a capable replacement in that regard, I'm not necessarily super worried about him as a coach. Not that he's a bad coach. It's just that he hasn't been as strong without him as that kind of stabilizing influence on his team.
I mean, I think that he is a guy that has given us fits. No pun intended, I suppose. But I think that, so I'm actually really interested to do the Know Your Foe Michigan State, because I want to learn about this and I want to learn about what the fan base up there is feeling like. That's one of those 50-50 games that if you lose that, boy, oh boy, that 8 wins goes out the window.
Oh yeah.
And it's all of a sudden you're like, we're back to this like panic mode. But if you win that, you're thinking, okay, now we got a bye week. Then, you know, it's really a very, very pivotal game, because it comes at a point where we've already, we'll play Notre Dame. We will have already gone to Penn State the week before. Then we have a bye week after Michigan State. You could easily be 2-3. You could be 3-2, and, or hell, you could be 4-1 potentially. And that, then you're really looking up in the right direction. So
yeah,
go ahead. Sorry.
Well, I was going to say, that's why Penn State for me is one of those games, because I think it's going to tell us so much about this team. They find a way to win that game and the sky's the limit.
Yeah.
If they don't, then it gets far more interesting. And a lot of it will be, how did they look in that game compared to how some of these other teams have fared?
Yeah. Mr. October says, I already have my flight for Michigan State. That's my vote. Clearly. Yeah, I agree. I think that probably will be it. It was also Big Ten Media Days for basketball the week after that. So that'd be nice to be able to kill two birds with one stone potentially. So yeah, but we'll get more information on that. We'll leave it there for the night. It's been a long travel week for me. It's late Central time for Justin. He very graciously allowed us to do a later show tonight because I was flying home from Chicago with no travel issues this time. Unlike my trip going to Chicago, which was an epic disaster, this one was nice and it was much easier. We will leave it there. We'll be back midweek for Know Your Foe episode and next week to talk all about everything that is happening at camp. Believe me, there will be so many messages back and forth this week, I'm sure. There will be so much going on. It's going to be real football that we're actually going to be talking about. So we will see you midweek and then again next weekend to break down all things fall camp. Thanks for joining us as always on Wisconsin.
On Wisconsin.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoy the show, subscribe to our YouTube channel at The Bucky Report or The Bucky Report Podcast from wherever you get your content. Until next time, on Wisconsin.